6 o'clock, we're going to start the meeting for July 6, 2023. Begin with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hadley.
Here.
Commissioner Walton.
Here.
And Commissioner Quinn.
Here.
Commissioner Lathrop is...
He's on his way.
He just pulled up.
Okay.
You got the bird's eye view. There he is.
There he is. Commissioner Lathrop is present.
You hey, everybody else got it. You got to get
as a scope.
I knew I was going to get at least one of those.
Okay, are there any alterations to the agenda? Anyone have any alterations to make to the agenda? None.
Thank you, sir.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of May 1st, 2023.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries. Item F, communications pertaining specifically to matters which concern the commission. Are there any communications?
This is the superintendent. On June 29th, we had an unannounced inspection by the Connecticut DEEP, and we did receive communication, formal communication from the DEEP about that visit, and it was a review of their findings. It was paperwork-based. I will provide the commission with the formal report once reviewed. We are not in any trouble, or there were no notices of violations, NOVs issued. There was just some paperwork errors, some labeling in the lab that they asked us to do. Overall, they were very gracious and very impressed with the capital improvements made to the facilities, including when they were visiting, they were improving the skate at Mayo Pump Station and Avery 2 Pump Station. And we reviewed the approximately $4 million of capital improvements made into the facility. So they were very impressed with that.
Any questions, Superintendent? Any other communications? Moving on to item G, remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. Are there any remarks from the public? Any remarks from the public? Third and final call, and remarks from the public. Hearing none. Item H, report from Operations and Administration Division. Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Derek Robertson, Superintendent. I provided a report, which should be self-explanatory. June and May were good months. We continue to make drastic improvements in process due to the weather improvement. One concern is the tanks are awfully warm based on the recent heat spell that we've had. But a success story is we reduce sludge hauling and disposal costs in June by 50% as compared to last year at this time. That represents over $50,000 in savings. One of the reasons there was a reduction is Ray and Whitney had their 15-day shutdown period, so they weren't contributing as much waste to our wastewater coming in the door. But overall, processes improved, and that's helped us as well. I provided a succession plan related to staffing the facility. I've noted in the previous narratives that we are going to lose 3 key people over the next 18 months. I taught 2 classes at Grasso Tech, and I've reached out to all the area high schools. We need to begin advertising and really taking seriously a search for qualified potential operators, particularly the lab director, who's going to be leaving at the beginning of next year. So that's something I'm working on. I also want to note we closed the getting close to closing the books for fiscal year 2023. A review of the existing financial conditions, you know, basically a budget comparison of revenues versus costs, suggests that the sewer will be in the black and the water will be basically break even. Even with the unaccounted for water, we have in the revenue line item, a line item in the revenues that is a reserve fund amount that should cover the overage. So we're both accounts are going to end up in a very good position. We've made very good money on septage receiving this year. Rand Whitney's improved their contribution financially about between 15% and 18%. We've cut costs on again on sludge. This represents the third year in a row we've dropped costs in overtime and labor. And electricity. So the big three are electricity, labor, and solids handling, and we've dropped costs in all three of those areas. That's it.
Anyone have any questions for the superintendent?
So you're saying that the last 2 months we noticed a decrease in the sludge. Was that consistent with the 2 months before that, or is that more of like an anomaly for those 2 months?
If process is good, the sludge thickens very well, so the volume goes down, and it's been unusually warm, so process has been unusually good, so it's a little bit of an anomaly.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, a question from me. This is Chuck Longdon, the chair. I understand that Rand Whitney's flow to us has not been up to the standard. Is that correct?
They've actually had notification in February, March, and April of exceedances by the state. They've been notified that they've exceeded their parameters or their limits on their federal permit. That's their ball of wax. Our concern is basically, they exceed by sending more than their permit allows them to, and the state gives them a slap on the wrist. But our key is, we have to handle it. And we had some problems in March. I think the state notified Rand Whitney that they had exceeded quite a few times.
What's it like currently?
It's good. They're definitely not loading us up like they were, and our process is unbelievable. I think last week we were 98% removal efficiency for the two key contaminants, BOD and TSS, and our biological contaminants, Enterococcus and fecal coliform, we're in single digits. So, be this way, but our effluent right now is drinking water in a third world country. That's how high our effluent quality is.
Do you know if why Rand Whitney was exceeding?
I when I first got here, they had their own pretreatment process. They have these Crofter unit tanks. They add a polymer and they settle out their solids in these sedimentation basins. And when I first got here, they were really struggling with the polymer addition to get the right settle and reduce the solids going over into our waste stream. That's not the problem. I think sometimes what happens is it's due to process, and they have a break in their paperboard, and I think that creates a condition where they don't so much have a TSS or suspended solids, they have a dissolved solid problem, and their pretreatment doesn't do a good job of removing that, and it ends up in our lab.
How is it affecting us now?
Not affecting us at all. Like I indicated, our removal efficiency is at least 98% for the BOD and the TSS, which is I would say equal to or better than any plant in the state. And our strength, our influent wastewater, is the by far the strongest in the state of Connecticut. We are four times the typical strength of a residential wastewater treatment plant, and we're still able to handle it.
Okay. Any other questions? Al?
No, Mayor.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, a couple things here. Well, I mean, yeah, we can talk about the residential stream, but we don't have a lot of residential stream around the level. The other thing is they're buying a lot of secondary cardboard on the market, and it's a lot of the blue product that's in there, and that's why it was contributing to what's going on with our BODs, because they're not processing it on-site like they were supposed to. And that's why the point of origin for the testing has to be at their
That's a. I appreciate the mayor. This is the superintendent. He's exactly right. The variation of their recycle board that they receive causes the problems, the wrinkles sometimes. And he's right. That can affect the effluent quality.
Any others? Moving on to item I, report from the mayor.
Nothing to add, sir. Thank you.
Item J, report from the engineers.
I provided an engineering summary table. I also provided the capital improvement listings for 2023 and 2024. I want to introduce Thurlow Montgomery from Wright Pierce, the WPCA engineer. And Mr. Montgomery is an engineer with Wright Pierce. He's here to summarize the engineering report for the failing utility bridge over Stony Creek. We've had a little bit of a kind of a alarm go off because we found this support mechanism for two sewer pipes and one water pipe adjacent to or just above the creek is failing. I would say the failure is imminent. Thurlin, in his engineering report, provided three options. He presented the three options in the report and chose one of them, the center option, and he's going to go through that now with us. I'm sorry. Oh, excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Yes, this is the superintendent. We're going to actually, under L, we will discuss this further. Thank you.
Anything else from engineering?
No, thank you.
Item K, old business, we have none. Item L, new business. This is their place.
Oh, yes, I'd like to welcome Thurlow Montgomery. The engineer from Wright Pierce.
Yeah, so you've got to keep your book straight over here.
Yeah. It's been a long day. Thank you for coming, Mr. Montgomery. And please, if you would, kind of provide a summary of what conditions exist at the utility support bridge and what options are available.
Okay. My name is Thurlow Montgomery from Wright Pierce in Middletown, Connecticut. Thank you. You guys recognize me. I think I was here 2 months ago. I think maybe last month it was canceled. We did an initial evaluation. We had CoreTech go in and take a look at the bridge. The bridge is right down the road. It's right next to the police station, and it crosses over the Stony Brook. It supports two potable water lines and one sewer line. And one of Derek's staff members noticed that it was pretty badly rusted, so we had people out there doing an evaluation, and basically they came back and said it's in very bad shape, especially right next to the two beams that are right next to the overpass where the road is. There was significant corrosion. There's lots of holes there. There's some warping of the main beams there. So then we did a follow-up evaluation. We had some of our structural engineers from my peers take a look at the report. They came down here and did some measurements, and they generated a summary of some recommendations for repairs. So we took this really three approaches. One, the first approach was we would rehab the existing structure in place. I'll just kind of back up and say, I think the idea here is we don't want to interrupt the flows through any of these three pipes. So we didn't want to go into a bypass scenario where we have to bypass pumping and things like that. So we really wanted to do something that we could do the repair and keep and maintain the flows. The first option was to what we call the rehabilitation of the bridge, the steel structure. And that's just really adding the additional metal, the plates, and the angles and things that are required to get the existing steel to a place where it's structurally sound. Second option was to do a complete replacement of the two primary beams. It's the primary beams that show the most corrosion, that were of concern. There was a third beam that was added in 2000, and that's in good shape. So the second option was to actually replace those beams. And then the third option we looked into was to keep everything in place and add additional beams to kind of supplement the existing structure. So those are three options: rehabilitation, replacement of the beams, and what we call supplemental beams. We did a cost analysis, we did some sequencing of construction, kind of get a sense of what would occur here. Cost analysis, everything came in around $400,000, but the most cost-effective recommendation we came up with was to actually replace the beams. The good thing about replacing the beams is we get the longest life. We get to maintain the existing structure the way it is. I think the cost came out to rehab the beams came out the most expensive at like $410,000. To replace the beams was around $384,000. And then to do supplemental beams was around $394,000. So that's the recommendation we're making, is to replace those beams. There's certain things that have to happen. We will have to have temporary supports in place so that we can pull those beams out and put new beams in. As part of this, we would also be repainting the entire structure. There are also some hangers on the existing sewer pipe that are pretty badly rusted and corroded, so we replaced the hangers and hardware for that as well. And then there were some grout pads for the existing steel structure. We would rehabilitate those grout pads. So that would be kind of overall the recommendation. Replace the beams, paint, replace the hanger and supports for the sewer pipe, and then use the grout pad on rehabilitation. That's it in a nutshell.
Any questions for the engineer?
This is on the east side.
East side, yes. It's the side closest to the road. And so we suspect that it's due to salt when we salt the roads and plowing and things like that. Those are the most exposed sections. It is the oldest section as well. But you can sort of tell that the section very close to the road is most badly corroded, and as you get further from the road, it gets better and better.
Would any of these options have an effect on the actual roadway bridge?
The end result, no. So the end result would be that it looks the same as it does now, but you have new structure that's recently painted and protected. I think that potentially during construction, you may have a lane closure. I'm pretty sure they're going to need some cranes to do the work. Whether or not they can access the cranes from the side, that sort of needs to be sort of worked out. I'm guessing there may need to be road closure at some point during construction.
And how long would that period of time be?
I don't know what that would be, but I would say the construction part of this is probably around 4 months. The overall construction cycle could be 8 months. while they're getting the materials and things like that, but the actual construction, 4 months, and then maybe, if I was to guess, the road closure part of it, I would say they're probably likely to be two times. One time would be the temporary supports to lay those on the existing supports. That's a day. And then another period actually during construction when they're trying to remove the beams, I would say there could be a couple days of road closure. So I'm not talking months of road closure, I'm talking day at a time, year.
One more question for me. We're talking about replacing the supports for the pipes. What is the condition of the pipes?
Pipes? I don't know the condition of the pipes. The pipes right now are insulated and covered. We could cut some of the insulation off to take a look at that. I don't know the answer to that. We could take a look at that.
I think that's something that we'll need to know.
They are protected by insulation, and it's a metal clad covering over the insulation. So that's in pretty good shape. It's not like that is showing signs of deterioration or anything like that. So I think the pipes are pretty well protected, so I'm guessing the pipes are in good shape.
And after the repair, is there any recommended maintenance or treatment that should be done to the structure to try to prevent this from happening again?
Yeah, I think we would go into this when we do the painting and the coatings. We would do something that we knew was going to last and that would take that environment, especially with the salt. The hangers and the supports for the sewer pipe that we would replace would be hot dip galvanized. It would just be steel, painted steel. It would be hot dip galvanized so that we knew we'd get a good life out of that. Okay. Other than inspections, we wouldn't really be doing necessarily any kind of maintenance.
All right, so it should be inspected routinely going forward if this one's just repaired.
Okay. Any other questions for the engineer?
This is the superintendent. We are in a situation where you do feel, based on your inspection and the Cortex inspection, that, this is a failing system.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty serious.
And if we were to lose the support, the pipes would break.
Yes.
We'd have raw sewage going into the stream.
Basically, two of the three pipes are supported by these two beams. There's a third pipe that's supported off of another pipe beam, but that I beam is also taking support off of these two primary beams. The pictures would show best what's going on. I mean, there are areas where you can see through the I-beam. So it's badly corroded, and then there's also some pictures that show how the I-beam itself is actually starting to twist. So it's lost a lot of the material and its strength, especially through the webbing and through the bottom portion of the I-beam. So I would say this is...
Anything else, Derek?
I just want to add that, as a superintendent, it's I consider this as priority one.
Anyone else? Thank you. Okay, we have a motion that needs to be made and considered. Brian, would you read the motion, please?
The Town of Montville Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to approve the engineer's recommended alternative two option in the June 2nd, 2023 Wright-Pierce Technical Memorandum for the structural repair for the failing utility bridge above Stony Creek along Route 32. The repair option recommended reportedly provides the longest design life and is the most cost-effective. A bid will be advertised. Advertised work cost should not exceed $400,000.
Hey, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second it. Discussion. Anyone have any questions?
When is this going to start?
It has to be put out for bid.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, are we in danger of a catastrophe as soon as possible? Or?
Yeah, I can do it as soon as possible.
That's
I don't know the answer to that. I just, yeah, it's a,
It's just, you know, the when you said raw sewage going in, it's
Mr. Mayor, if per the edits made to the purchasing policy from the town last year, my understanding is, I think it's line item 4, front page, there is, you can skip the bid process, right? If it's in a pre-approved, pre-vetted co-op scenario like Southeastern Connecticut, Council of Governments, or...
If they're on the official bid list, then it doesn't have to be advertised.
It does not. Okay.
Something that's off the approved bid list.
And Thurlin, you had actually provided 5 potential vendors or contractors that could do this work, and we suspect that one or more might be on that pre-bid list.
Yeah, so the structural engineers that worked on this report and the evaluation are part of our bridge. So yeah, the structural engineers that worked on this are part of our, we have a structural division works.
Yeah, it is. They are part of our bridge group that we have, so they're used to working with a lot of these contractors that are in Northeast. So they did send me an email list of 5 potential bidders. There's more out there, but they did send me, you know, some good candidates for contractors who would do this work.
Okay, and these are pre-approved?
I haven't looked at that, whether or not they're pre-approved, but I could follow up to find out if they are.
If you wouldn't mind, and then I'll share that with the commission.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion. It's been seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Mandler?
Favor.
Commissioner Mandler?
Favor.
Commissioner Lathrop?
Favor.
Commissioner Walton?
Favor.
Commissioner Quinn?
Favor.
Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Thurlin.
Item M, reports, referrals on planning and zoning. Unfortunately, our liaison to the planning and zoning has retired. The town council chair has informed me that they are working diligently to provide us with a replacement here. So, move on now to the second part of the meeting, to the Water Commission. Report from engineers.
This is a superintendent. There is a motion that will be considered under new business. The unaccounted for water situation has included more investigation. I just want to provide a summary of backup and just give you some more background information. But January 11th at 5:45 a.m., we had a sudden increase in water flow from Groton Utilities under the river to our Montville water system. Initially, we thought it was a breach. We inspected the entire length of the water supply system on multiple cases, looking for essentially frozen water conditions, either frozen seeps through cracks in the road or frozen icebergs at hydrants. Then we went further and did acoustic studies at every hydrant and all of the key suspect areas. We did both acoustic studies, that's listening during the day and at night. At night is the best. We had 2 different contractors listen at night. They both informed us that we have a tight system. They doubt seriously that we have a break. So then we stepped back and we looked at the major users. In particular, the Department of Corrections had activity prior to this January 11th, 5:45 a.m. scenario. They had filled their water tanks rapidly. So there was a question whether or not that rapid filling had created a negative pressure and damaged the lateral supply line. We just recently had their meters calibrated, and they calibrated true. So Department of Corrections, as for their official connection, is not a suspect user at this time. So then we rented some what are called strap-on meters, and we started slicing and dicing areas of investigation. So there's approximately 6 miles of investigation, and we put a strap-on meter at Stony Creek where Thurlin was talking about, because it's an exposed water line, and we listened with a, you know, at night, we recorded flow data logger for 72 hours. And what we were looking for was there an exaggerated amount of flow during low flow times, that is at night? We did not see that. So we took a big step back. So everything north into Stony Brook is now considered non-suspect. So that's everything up to 1401 pump station and all the way up to Cook Water Tower. Our next step is to put in a manhole. We'd like to install a manhole, which I think is a good thing for the system anyway. This is normal for distribution systems to have flow meters throughout the system hooked up to SCADA. So if you do have a sudden increase in flow, you get an alarm. But we'd like to install a manhole at the corner of 163 and Depot Road. Therefore, we could access the water pipe and put in a strap-on meter to, again, determine, based on data logging, if there's been a large amount of flow during times when there shouldn't be a large amount of flow. That would take another mile and a half off the suspect area. Then, if that's clean, we would retreat to Maple Avenue and do the same thing. Something's going on. Somebody's using water, and I don't know who it is. We did a water audit. This is essentially the 20th audit that we've done since January 11th. This was concluded at the end of June, and we found that we were 18% unaccounted for water. The national average is 16%. We have a tight system. We should be 3 to 5%. That's our national average. So somebody's using water and they don't know about it. And it's not, when I say unaccounted for, it's not going through a meter. So that's where we stand. 18% is a heck of a lot better than 30% that we were getting initially. What I think is happening is there's an overall demand for more water due to evapocooling. And we're in a situation where I think the scales are balancing a little bit. We've obviously worked with Groton Utilities extensively. They've been unbelievably cooperative and supportive. Brian, I can't say that enough. Unbelievable. And what camaraderie. Initially, they were over listening to our hydrants within a day. Really good sports. Really fantastic people. So that's where we stand. I think we'll find it. I think we have to reduce the target area until we get to a point where at night we observe, based on data logging, a high flow. Then we know it's within this mile or half mile.
All right. Any questions? Item B, old business, there is none. Item C, new business, there's a motion. Kevin, would you read the motion, please?
To consider and approve the installation of a WS access manhole for a flow meter installation. The Town of Mountville Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to redirect $25,000 from the 2023 WS SIP funding valve VFD Maple Ave pump station for construction installation of a manhole to allow a flow meter to be placed at the intersection of Depot Road and Route 32 for evaluation of the current unaccounted water problem as well as future flow observations. The meter could effectively reduce the investigation area by 20%. It is requested that a pre-vetted contractor be employed with waiver of bid as per the town purchasing policy. Motion to discuss, roll call.
Okay. Motion has been read. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion.
So the we have a contractor that we work with normally for doing this stuff, because if we're going to waive the bid, you have someone you work with normally comfortable with to do this?
Yeah, I think it's somebody that we're comfortable. They've done this type of work before. I think they would be able to get it in the ground very rapidly. They provided a bid.
Who do you have lined up?
P&H Construction.
Okay.
And their bid was like $24,624.90. It's something that they could do very rapidly.
Yep.
We've worked with them before. The real gist of this, and you know, P&H is somebody that I trust to do the construction near the Rand Whitney lines. They're very familiar where they are. It's very tight in that location. There's the potential of making a misstep. I think P&H has good records. I don't think they would make a misstep there.
Well, it was funny because I was going to say P&H is in town, so that was going to be, you know, pushing for an in-town contractor. So
the other piece of this is, you know, I don't know this to be a fact, but Rand Whitney could say, you know, you're within a certain number of feet of our pipage. We would rather have P&H do the work. They have
no rights.
They have no rights. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In accordance with the rules, the contract with the WPCA, the only one who can do work on Rand Whitney's supply and return line is P&H. So,
okay. Any other discussion? Okay, just note that this...
So, wait, I'm just going to say this. This is a very, very convoluted... It should just be that the Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to waive the bid process for P&H Construction to apply this meter.
But if this is an emergency,
$25,000.
May I make a comment?
As it is in the best interest of them.
This isn't like the bridge where it needs to be done immediately. So I don't know why we're waiving the bidding process.
Well, we're an increase to... If we're normally 5 to 6%, and we're at 18%, we're losing how many dollars per day? That to me creates a little bit of emergency there on lost revenue. We've been 6 months now chasing this leak, and this is a chance to.
Are we losing $25,000?
What is it? 150,000 gallons a day.
It's right now we're about 80 gallons per minute.
So what's our cost over the past 6 months from this usage?
Have to do the math.
Sorry to put you on the spot with the math.
I'll leave it alone. P&H was the sole provider for us for years, but they were also representing Rand Whitney, so we went away from them. When I first started. They had like the open.
There was people who had problems with them for blue.
Well, they were both doing both sides of the.
So they said they cannot have all of the work because they had all the emergency work for them.
Well, it's like taking care of two bosses, yeah.
And B&W got that.
Yeah, it's like 50,000 to, you know, just doing the numbers really quickly.
So we've lost over 50,000 so far.
Yeah.
So, to me, you know, you can keep...
Well, it would be 75 if that's not the spot, though, right?
Right. But if we narrow this down or we wait and put it out to bid process, we lose another 3 months. That means another 25,000 waiting for bid process and to get accepted. Another 3 months is 25,000. So, your 25,000 or your 25,000?
How many more miles are we going to check? Like, how many 25,000s are going to come up?
That's the problem. You don't know where you're bleeding from. It's hard to put the right stitch on it.
One thing.
I'm just saying, like.
No, but I. I want to add this.
In my head, I can't wrap my head around.
There's got to be water coming up somewhere.
I know.
After 6 months.
I thought it was at Stony Creek.
A meter, though, there's got to be a better. How many meters are we going to put in to find out what point it's before a meter?
But I want to add that it is typical in a water supply system to have intermittent meters, meters in the supply system. So this meter that we install, these manholes, this sails on. I mean, really, this is good to go forever. And it really enhances the system because we can plug it into SCADA, and then whenever we have one of these, if we did in the future, once we find it correct, you know, alarm goes off.
I mean, it could be a leak in a pipe somewhere we don't know. I mean, we have cameras, right? Can't we camera everything?
Well, not potable water. But no, that's actually a great idea. I mean, I've gone as far as, you know, the satellite imagery. They can take, I think it's 14 shots of the town in 24 hours, and they false color imagery, and they'll find it. You know, they can tell you if it's wastewater or water, but it's $30,000.
Will that cover more of the territory?
Covers the whole town.
So the $25,000 will cover 20%, but for $30,000 we can cover the whole system.
Effectively.
The way I read this, this is primarily seeking permission to move $25,000 from our already approved budget from one place to another.
To redirect funds within the already approved capital improvement.
Right, because budget's already approved, you can't just move the money without the commission approving it. So,
Derek, how accurate is that process you were talking about for the $30,000?
I have a minor in geophysics, and I went to two of their seminars. It's very impressive. They use it primarily for dam failure. It's incredible.
Capture everything for you.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're all, you read on Yahoo, they discovered another Mayan temple in they call it something else, but essentially it's LIDAR, light radar, and they've really got it down now where they can see into the ground, you know, like 12 feet, and they can find what they call saturated zones. And it's water that shouldn't be at that depth, and it's saturating everything. And it's, if it has a certain profile, it's wastewater, and if it has a certain profile, it's water. It's very impressive.
From what I understand on the system, yes it is. But if it's water that's seeping into the ground, it'll find it.
It'll find it.
If it's water which someone is actually tapping and using, it won't.
Right, and again, it goes
back. Neither will the meter. Unless they get the meter before that point where somebody's tapping.
Right, and the theory right now stands is that we are not, there is not a breach. It is not a leak.
Because you've listened to it.
Yeah, the acoustics would be very loud. This is...
Yeah, so
it's unlikely to be a leak into the ground.
At this point, based on all the acoustic studies, I would say yes. And the fact that we have not seen it. You know, my experience at other utilities, somebody's walking their dog, they hear a catch basin running, or somebody sees a seep in the street. I mean, we have so many eyes on the road that someone finds it. It's incredible the number of calls we get. Oh, I have an odor. And you go out there, and it's like, wow. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry to bother you. You want to hug and kiss them. No, you did us a huge favor. You know, thank you for calling. But no one has done this.
And every bypass has been checked?
Every bypass has been checked.
This is like a rock and a hard place.
But I do want to say, all the work that we've done, we have a sanitary survey coming up. This is when the Department of Public Health comes out and looks at our system. It's all rock solid. They love this type of stuff. So it sails on. It puts us in a very good position.
30% to 18%.
I think better. The other piece of this is we had better software for recording the metering. We had better hardware for actually taking the meter reads. And we had a consultant come in and work with CAT to translate the numbers better from the drive-around reads to the financial software. So it cleaned it up quite a bit.
So we tightened up 12% just by better utilization of numbers.
Better numbers.
But we're still above the national average.
Still in the human error.
We're above the national average, and we should not be. We have a very tight system, and that was the consistent language used by anyone of the five people that actually listened to our system. They said, no, you would hear it. And they checked every hydrant. So it's very strange. It could be a cooler, you know, or a direct discharge to a floor drain that goes directly to our sewers, and nobody's been in that room or that sub-basement in a long time. But the DOC meter check panned out.
Could it be too heavy of a flow for the meter to capture?
There was some question about that. The big users have the adequate meters, and it wouldn't be, the meters don't run, they run slow, not fast, so when they're failing. So it's someone's using water, and I don't think they realize it.
And how's our calibration schedule with our commercial customers? Like, as far as the meters being tested, like, are they all in the right time range?
Yeah. But. And all of the meters that are with the residences are relatively new. The software that reads them is new. The translation software from the meter read to the volume, and then again to the Munis, which is a financial software, that's all been improved. We had a consultant come in, he worked with us, and pretty good. And the key is the last three audits have been like 24, 22, 18. You know, they're relatively close. If they were like 40, 30, you know, 50, then you know you'd have a problem. But the only way is, again, I want to remind the commission that we don't think it's a leak. This is a infrastructure addition that would sail on in the future. We would definitely use this every day in the future.
How many remote checkpoints do you have throughout the system currently?
Right now, we just have the one at Peter Road, you know, coming over when it comes out of the river, from under the river. And most water supply systems, you know, have these checks. I mean, we have a flow regulation at, we have a pressure relief valve, and we have the pump stations, but we don't have isolated points within the supply system that measures the, you know, the flow. And that's typical.
So if it's not the meters, and it's not bypasses, and it's not a leak,
it could be.
Yeah. Could get the water witch out there.
Any other discussion? All right, then we have a motion. It's been seconded. We discussed it. Roll call vote, please.
Favor.
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 Motion carries. Thank you very much.
To be clear, because it wasn't written in the motion that this is going to be awarded to P&H Construction.
It's just a waiver.
It's going to be waived, and it is in the best interest of the town. It needs to be actually stated in the record.
Thank you. You should record that. We'll have to nurse it.
Is that something that has to be...
When a bid is waived, it needs to be in the best interest of the town.
Should we add that verbiage to our... Add the verbiage.
Okay.
Well, you know what? You had this motion. You can just say we're now making another motion that you award this contract to Venus Construction.
In best interest of.
The bid process as it is the best interest of the town. That makes another motion. So that the auditors see it 20 years from now when we're not here.
Okay, we should do that now, or do you want to?
Yes.
Absolutely right now.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, how would you suggest that motion be worded?
The Town of Quantico Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to waive the bid process for
P&W?
P&H.
Work under, approved under item C1 to P&H Construction as it is in the best interest of the town.
Okay. Gloria, would you add that what the words that the mayor spoke as the motion?
I will.
To, you know, and then we'll have Al actually make that motion.
Okay.
So moved.
So moved. It's already set.
Okay, so. I know, but he's not a member of the commission.
Right, so he moved it. One second.
You have it recorded, correct? So moved.
Okay, so we have the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call vote.
Favor.
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 Okay. Well, you were looking at me.
That was a look.
For the record, Commissioner voted in favor 4-0.
Thank you.
Correct. Okay. Item D, remarks from the public. Any remarks from the public? Third final call, remarks from the public. Item E, remarks from the commission members. Brian?
Commissioner Quinn. I've been asking about the administrator job probably since December. It's in the budget. I know Derek's stepped up and done it and he's been compensated for that. At the same time, from a union perspective, it's a position in the union. It's budgeted. I don't think it's good for the union to have an open position not being filled. I'd like to at least see something move forward where it's posted internally to get the ball rolling. I haven't really gotten any clarity on it in months. And I don't understand if it's a approved position, if it's a union position, and if it's a budgeted position, why it even needs to be voted on. That's a contract thing, so nobody should be able to have any. They shouldn't even be up for a vote. It's something that's already existing.
You looking for clarity?
Yes.
It's my turn. Usually the commissioners go first. Yeah, if it's a budgeted position, it can be advertised. It has been advertised. I don't think we still have it active out there among a lot of places right now.
I didn't know it was. Okay.
But internally, see, the thing about the main contracts is it doesn't make sense to advertise them internally.
I thought they had to for a certain amount of time before they
were... Not the main contracts.
Oh, okay.
Because of the specialized nature of the positions that they have. Certainly willing to go back out to the market. I can give you human resources to do that. There was questions about whether it was budgeted before or not. And as far as I'm concerned, it was budgeted.
I think it's showing in the budget now. It just wasn't showing. I think that was the issue, right? But now it is. Okay.
Al? Remarks? Kevin?
Well, I mentioned it before. You said that the position is only like a 20-hour a week job, correct? It wasn't a full-time job?
It was.
Oh, it was 40 hours.
That's a full-time job.
Okay. I had gone and said, when we go to negotiations with the union for the new terms, if we can have one person, no offense to you, handle both tasks for an increase to that salary, then why are we going to pay a second salary plus retirement plus benefits plus all the other insurance coverages for a second person for a job that isn't really gaining?
My response from a union perspective, if I was in their shoes, I would say if I have to do this for this, for basically if I'm acting in this position for a certain amount of time, at a certain point in time, this pay is going to become permanent. Because you don't want, from a union perspective, you don't want to have to be doing someone else's job and taking away a position.
I understand that. I'm not talking about the union perspective. I'm talking about the town and what's best for the town and the long-term budget plan here. I mean, if you're going to stand here and negotiate for the union and put their terms on the table, then you need to be a negotiator for them, not for the town.
Right, but we currently have a union contract which is defined, and it's in place and running now. Without regard to whether or not your thoughts have merit, we need to stay with the contract as written that we have now.
Correct. And when is the next negotiations open for that?
I believe it's their contract is up next.
June 30th
is
yet. Yeah.
That would be the appropriate time to bring that up.
And I would suggest again it put in there that if somebody's acting in a certain amount of time that it becomes a permanent rate of pay.
I have no objections to that because he's doing double duty. He deserves the pay he's getting for
right.
doing it. So, we're all clear on that part. I appreciate you stepping up and handling
all of
that.
Yeah, I mean, with the support of the mayor and the commission, it's been very, it's been a dream. It really has. I mean, sometimes it's aggravating, but, you're tired. But, no, I mean, look at the success we've had in the last 5 years. It's been unbelievable. I mean, we put so much money into the plant and the collection system, and our budgets have steadily increased, and because we have the revenues to support them, our process is good. We have a great staff. We're very, very blessed. A lot of plants aren't like this. We're really blessed. Quite the commission and the staff is, we're blessed. It could go south.
Yeah,
believe me.
And it's not.
But yeah, it's.
I have to like you said it.
Yes, sir.
Deb does a great job with the process and running the plant and getting off and doing the science and everything else. And he'll be the first to tell you that he makes a lot of missteps sometimes. Personnel issues. I'm not picking on
you. No, I understand. Right. I understand.
Just trying to explain some of the vagaries of the differences between the administrative position and the superintendent position, because there is a huge difference.
Yeah.
The presentation of the agendas is misbalanced. I mean, these aren't even the motion that should be written. And most of the times, I have time to correct it and try to help out that. It's about pursuing the grants, getting that $5 million from the state to do all the improvements at the plant, negotiating the water rates and stuff like that. That's not a typical superintendent's job at all. That's not what they do. And God forbid something happens there, there's nobody behind it to take care of things. Yeah, right? We have a class 3 who
maybe do the process for a little bit. So you try to find a form. But you have nobody now then to do all the administrative stuff that, that he's also taking on at this point. Because he's a workaholic. And in fact, is he is a workaholic. I can't slow him down. And I try to tell him to take time off, and he doesn't. So we're fortunate to have him in this position, but that's not a God-given thing for a period of time. Honestly, if something were to happen, I'd see us having to sell out the whole contract. Like, we'd be with Viola or somebody else to run things. And that's based on 20 years experience of being dealing with the WPCA in town.
Thank you for some clarification there.
I don't know, and he does a great job. And I'm all for saving money, don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't pay any water, but it's a little bit for the water side because all that tax stuff that we had to do with the Grand Whitney side. But, you know, I'm not a rate payer. And so, does it directly affect me? No, but of course I'm concerned about that. And you know, we need growth. And it's, we can't sell out everything to, you know, and when container board and get any accessible capacity that we have in the plant. We get anybody wants to come to this town, what do we have to offer? We don't have a lot of capacity. Those things need to be, that's what an administrator needs to do, that long-term planning stuff. And kind of get that stuff off the ground. Chase all this Build Back Better money, all this other stuff. That somebody's got to do that. That's where you need somebody in that kind of position. My opinion.
Okay.
I guess I was 3 cents more than two.
I think it was a full nickel, but it was good.
Having said that, that is something that the town can put out there because it is something that's budgeted and it's something that's in the contract. There's no real, it's not really up to a vote. That's something that's already established.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep. And the fact of the matter is we didn't really get any qualified candidates every time he's advertised. So if we had a qualified person that I thought would be discounted to the future to march along as it would have, I would have made that hire. But we haven't got anybody.
Is this something that can be refreshed? Or?
Yeah, okay. We can certainly try.
All right.
Yes,
thank you.
I just want to add my 2 cents. The superintendent, it definitely takes a certain type of person. And my fear would be somebody that wasn't qualified. And then the workload becomes even more. You know, the I do want to say the existing scenario right now is basically a 92% savings, you know, for the not having a full staff administrator. And I don't know too many administrators that even work at the facility. You know, they're really entrenched at the town hall, managing, like the mayor indicated, you know, labor contracts and labor chasing, because we're a distressed community, there's a lot of money out there, you know, and then following up, establishing relationships with people, but you can't do anything without good process, you know, if the plant's not running well or your staff's not happy. But yeah, there are good people out there, but you know, there's not a lot of them.
Who's involved in the interview process if a candidate comes to the table?
For sewer, we would be. I think, I don't know about water.
I would be responsible enough to follow up here for the next 30 days to establish a commission of people who would be interested. But the final decision is that of the mayor.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you.
Yeah, there is no... We have a human resource person now, but she'd be involved in the process as well.
Okay.
But I would definitely take a couple of commissions members and say, hey, you know, these are the three we have, interview them, see where we're at.
Any other remarks from the commissioners? Okay, this is Commissioner Lompkin. I'd just like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the retirement of Tony Saragusa. Very well-deserved retirement. The man has been an invaluable member of many portions of the town government and like that. He's retired. He and I would butt heads a lot, but I really appreciated his thoughts. He knew what he was talking about.
What I loved was he knew the history and stuff, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, and that's priceless.
So I just want to thank him for his service to the town, and I'd like to have that on record.
Ditto.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 7:15? 7:07.
707, that's not bad.
You should have met John Gary. You remember John Gary?
Yeah.
I know you.
I'll get him.
You'll get him.